All right, we are back. Hour number three, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Mark Reines joining us now. Mark, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I appreciate you joining us. The wellness ethic, how to thrive in an unpredictable world. Now, I agree with probably 80% of the guests that I have on, and I'm always gracious to guests, but I always am very open and honest as well. I'm not sure I agree with you on all of this.
Okay.
So sell me.
We'll have a fun conversation.
Because you're talking to a workaholic, so sell me.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong about working hard, provided it translates to your well-being. That's
okay.
The key.
Okay.
So
I will agree with you on. That one I'm with you. I can get that one.
Right. So if at the end of the day, if your approach to life is making you happy and healthy, then you're doing a lot of things right and keep on doing that.
Okay.
But if you're falling short, which a lot of people in today's world are falling short, for instance, there was a Mercer report, and I won't bore you with too many statistics, but it showed that 82% of employees are at risk of burnout because of financial strain, exhaustion, excessive overwork, nonstop stress in their personal life, in the world, in their professional life. And that translates to poor health. It translates to erosion of your happiness, your
right.
fulfillment.
Right.
So there's a lot more to life than the traditional work in your job. And when you achieve some level of harmony in the other aspects of your life, then it comes together and you thrive. And that's the premise
okay.
behind the wellness ethic.
Okay. That, you know what? Saying it that way, I can get on board with that. That makes total sense. I think where I tend to come from at times, and I talked about this earlier in the week, where I feel like some of our, you know, well, I read a statistic yesterday, Mark, that said 36% of men just don't know their place in life. And my answer to some of that is, well, I think some of that is because as a world, we've beat you guys down to the point to where you don't feel fulfilled doing anything anymore. And maybe this is where your book comes into play. It's like, okay, find what fulfills you and then start doing that. And maybe you won't feel like you're so out of place at the end of the day.
Oh, without a doubt. So the book is really a roadmap to get underneath who you are, who you want to be,
okay.
what your dreams are, and how to take it step by step to start chipping away at it to create the life that you truly want so that you will thrive and be happy. At the end of the day, you'll find that meaning. So without a doubt, it provides
okay.
that roadmap.
Perfect. So answer me a question, because this is one where I also have pretty hardcore feelings on the whole, you know, I think we do kids a big disservice when we say, you know, go follow your dream, and if you do what you love, you'll always make money. Well, that's not true, Mark, because, you know, I, for example, love music, but don't expect me to be a musician. I can't read a note. I'm not sure if I had been trained to. My brain just doesn't work in that area, but I love music. So if you would have said, John, just go do what you love and play music, I would have been the most dismal, biggest failure of a music artist you probably ever would have met, Mark. And that's an example of just doing what you love doesn't necessarily put food on the table. So how do you address that, you know, still doing something that you enjoy? And what I say is go find something you're really good at, because once you figure out what you're good at and you do that, then the joy, I think, comes along with it. But how do you address that?
Yeah, in a perfect world, what you do, you love, and you make a lot of money, and your life is a fairy tale existence.
Yeah,
and for some people, it is like that.
That's right.
However, you do have to choose your response to your reality
okay.
and the commitments you have in life. So, for instance, if you are in a job that you don't love, that's the case for a lot of people. So how do you make the most of that and find meaning and joy in your work and, you know, move ahead,
yeah.
do great things?
Yeah.
And if it's not satisfying enough, well, you look for something better and you keep on evolving. But, and here's the key, don't give up on that dream, your passions, because there are other ways to fulfill them. So, for instance, in my life, I love history. I would love to make a career out of it. It's
yeah.
probably not going to pay the bills. I'm a little bit later in life, so it's not realistic. However, I'm going to immerse myself in history in my spare time. I'm going to have fun collecting historical documents and antiques. I'm going to watch documentaries. I'm going to read about history. So I'll find a lot of ways to pursue that passion. Another quick example, if you love sports and you always wanted to be a professional athlete, well, good luck with that. It's a one in a million
That's
shot.
Right. That's
that.
Right. Good point.
Yep. But it doesn't mean that you don't participate in athletics, that you maybe you join that over 40 softball league. Maybe you coach, maybe you umpire, maybe you help your children with sports. There's so many ways that you can still bring
Great
that
point.
To your life.
Great point. There's a lot of people, and I know some of these folks, Mark, where like you just said a moment ago, when it comes to sports, they get into officiating or they do other things along those lines. Maybe they weren't, you know, able to be, you know, that star athlete, but they still were able to take some of those skills and go do things at the end of the day, make them feel fulfilled. And by the way, they can make a little money on the side while they're doing it. You know, a lot of those get paid to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I'm following you. I agree with everything that you're saying. Talk about, I've used the 80-20 rule a lot at coach businesses as well, and the 80-20 rule I've believed in for a very long time. And for those of you listening, I'll let Mark explain it, but in a nutshell, with a business, for example, 20% of your or 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your clients. And it's a rule that's, it's just a rule that's there, Mark, and it's I guess call it a rule of life, if you would.
It really is. It's also known as the Pareto principle. And what it inspires you to do is to focus your precious time and resources on what's most impactful.
Right.
So to give you an example, let's say you want to be physically fit and you want to exercise. Okay, that's a great intention.
Great goal.
It's going to boost your happiness, your health. It's all upside. Okay, you could join a gym. You could exercise 2-3 hours a day. You could buy thousands of dollars of exercise equipment. And you may choose to do that. You may want to really go deep because you want, you know, to strive for optimal performance. You may be training for a marathon. So there can be valid reasons for that. But for the average person, you don't have to do that. You could focus on the 20% of the most vital exercises and keep it simple and get 80% of the benefits of being physically well. So for instance, you don't have to run 5 miles a day. If you walked 30 minutes, brisk walking, 5 days a week for 30 minutes a day, you're going to get a ton of good from that.
Good point.
If you do 5 to 10 minutes of mobility exercises first thing in the morning or in the evening, you're going to boost your health, and the statistics show that. And then if you just simply do strength training 2 or 3 times a week, it could simply be a couple barbells or a kettlebell that you keep in your home, and do that 2 or 3 times a week for 20 minutes or so. You combine those basic exercises, establish a habit, and you're going to get 80% of the upside.
Great point.
And that's more than enough for the vast majority of people. Then if you want to go further, you can certainly do that.
Talk to some of those folks, Mark, that, and again, Mark Reinisch is who's with us right now, and his book, for those of you listening, go buy the book, by the way, The Wellness Ethic. Just look that up, go buy the book. But Mark, how, you know, talk to some folks I know that are listening, because I've got listeners from literally several states wide. Our signal covers a lot. There's a lot of folks listening that are maybe in different stages of life, meaning maybe they've had a death in the family, a death of a spouse, they're divorced. And so they're really looking for, as I said yesterday, that statistic where 36% of men just don't know their place. You know, a lot of them are saying, guys, you know, you guys all have this figured out. You make it sound really easy. Where is step one? What do they do in the very beginning to try to figure out what is my purpose?
You know, and the book gets into that as well. The first couple chapters in the book deal with adopting change and choosing your response to life no matter what happens.
Okay.
So it will get into helping you to get your arms around accepting life as it is, not how you wish it were. So if you had a death in a family, if you lost a job, unfortunately, that's reality.
Mm-hmm.
So accept it and then decide, how do you want to frame it?
Mm.
What life-affirming frame can you apply where you recognize that unfortunate things do happen, but you can move forward in your life. And then you choose your response that will put you in the best position to regain your footing and your happiness and fulfillment and move on, because impermanence is a reality of life. There's a beginning, middle, and end to everything. Mm-hmm. So the book gets into that. But then when we get into the components of the wellness ethic, which are spirituality, mind, the body, relationships, and personal and professional pursuits, I start off with spirituality for the very reason of the premise of your question. And I break down spirituality using the 80-20 rule to keep it simple into three core concepts. The first is embrace your life purpose. Then love the universe of existence. And then lastly, surrender. So starting with life purpose, I'll walk you through how you can get underneath your values, your superpowers, what you're really good at, and what you love, what you're passionate about, and then to sort through that and have the thought exercise of determining why were you put on this planet. And then that can be a catalyst for everything you do in your life. You can bump it up against that and support it. So we definitely get into that.
Good. And by the way, I appreciate that, because that I think is a thing that a lot of even – you know, self-help seminars and things along those lines that people go to, which they're not knocking those, Mark. They're great. And a lot of people go to those things. They get a lot out of them. I'm not against them. But I think there are times where people can still leave those particular events saying, well, that all sounded great, rah, 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 but I don't know where to start.
Oh, without a doubt. And when I decided to write this book, my mission was to make wellness accessible and actionable. So that's why I use the 80-20 approach. Every concept in there, I simplify it down to its essence.
Nice.
So you can wrap your arms around it. But then what I do is I make it actionable. How can you translate every single concept that I talk about in the book into concrete actions that can move you forward? Baby steps that will build upon each other to make it very simple to take that first step. Because once you take that first step, then you can take another, then another, and you start to change. Things start to happen without you even thinking about it, because you've shifted your mindset. You become a different person.
That's right. Again, Mark Reinisch, I appreciate you joining us. Thanks for staying a little extra time with us today as well. I know we went about 5 minutes over, but I've enjoyed the conversation. And you sold me. For those of you listening, go get the book, read it. And by the way, I would also say this, and Mark, I'll pass this along to folks. If you know somebody that's struggling in this particular area, you know, you can always buy a book and give it out, Mark. It's pretty easy.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I've found with a bunch of people who have read the book. They're giving it as gifts. They're reading the book and thinking, wow, if my friend read this chapter, that could really help them get over the hump on something that's really challenging them. So absolutely spread the word. It's all upside.
Mark, thank you very much for joining us. You sold me, and I appreciate you very much.
Well, thank you very much, John.
You're very welcome, Mark. Take care. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.